Welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. All right, let's get right to it. So, liberals are just losing their minds. I'm not going to say liberals. I'm going to say Democrats, and even a handful of Republicans. And so what we're going to do is what we usually do here. We put salt on snails. And let's see this. So explain to me, please, what this nonsense is all about with Russia. I mean, do you remember when Obama, in his debate, that one fateful debate that he had, I forget if it was the second or third one, when he was debating Mitt Romney in 2012, and Romney said to Obama, or said in answer to a question, that that Russia is the single greatest geopolitical foe that this country has, to which Obama had that great line. I don't know if you remember this, but he had that great line where he said, "Well, you know, the 1980s have called." You know, and they want their foreign policy back. And everybody laughed and guffawed. And it was just the big joke was on Romney. And boy, was Obama just a clever guy. I mean, what a cool dude. And the media, you would have thought, oh, my gosh, you would have thought they just, that it was one collective media orgasm over how funny Obama was, how wrong Romney was. And it was a complete and total rebuke. Now, I just want to make sure. Do you remember that? Well, fast forward 4 years, and all these people, all the same talking heads, all these just these media con artists have suddenly had this enormous epiphany. Now Russia's the worst player in the world. I mean, anything bad in the world. Did somebody club a baby seal? Vladimir Putin. Did somebody somewhere kidnap a child? Vladimir Putin. Was your breakfast not cooked right this morning? Vladimir Putin. Everything is getting blamed on this guy. So now I'm wondering what has happened. And the only conceivable answer I have is that it's Trump. He's just, yeah. Anything Trump does is going to be wrong. Let me give you. You think I'm exaggerating here? Let me give you an example because you remember Keith Olbermann. Well, yeah. In 2012, he was pretty active. I think he was MSNBC at that point and a correspondent. He got suspended for making campaign contributions to Democrats, which I guess back then, you know, the media had standards. So anyway, Keith Olbermann is back. He's got some channel on GQ or something on YouTube. And if you ever want a good laugh, this is a place to go for a little bit of humor. But I'll tell you, this is what Keith Olbermann right now is saying about Trump and Russia. Do we have the clip?
The Washington Post, CBS News, Reuters, in a torrent of anguished honesty. They said something. They said something as the president-not-elect began to veer towards appointing as Secretary of State, as our diplomatic face to the world, the CEO of Exxon, who 4 years ago received the Order of Friendship from Vladimir Putin.
Ooh.
There is no time for a full review or a measured analysis
or
recommendations
None of that.
To prevent interference in our future elections, because permitting Donald Trump to assume the office of president reduces the chance that we will have any future elections. The nation and all of our freedoms hang by a thread, and the military apparatus of this country is about to be handed over to scum, who are beholden to scum, Russian scum. He is not a president. He is a puppet put in power by Vladimir Putin. Those who ignore these elemental existential facts are traitors to this country. And will immediately
just stop it. Stop it. Put me out of my misery. I am choking over here. Sorry. I got to get my cough button going here. Look, that's insane. And again, I'll remind you, these are the same people. These are the same media talking heads that 4 years ago were ridiculing Romney for claiming that Russia was a geopolitical foe. All right. Can I also point out another interesting tidbit here to consider? Which is, you know, since when is Russia the adversary and the bad guy and China isn't? Because it's an important question. They're both countries founded on, well, certainly with communist principles and some, you know, they're former adversaries of ours. We buried the hatchet, by the way, with the Soviet Union, right? And took good old Ronald Reagan to do that. And since then, we've maintained friendly relations, and it's kind of gone to hell in a handbasket with Obama being involved and then when Hillary showed up with her little red reset button. But in that time, we've had good relations with Russia. We've had diplomatic relations with Russia. We haven't classified them an adversary. And the same is with China. I mean, China, by the way, if I got to be honest here, think about the military might of China. I think it dwarfs anything that Russia has and the Soviet Union had. China has a very, very impressive military. They have another thing, too. They got a lot of people, right? So they're armed to their teeth. Talk about people hacking us. It's been well established that China hacked into every computer, every mainframe in the Pentagon, has hacked into Boeing, has hacked into Lockheed Martin, has hacked into every military contractor, stolen blueprints to top secret projects. This has all been documented in this is a fact. Now, let's ask Keith Olbermann what he thinks of China and play this tape.
He has screwed up, whether inadvertently or as reported Sunday night deliberately, nearly four decades of diplomacy balanced on a razor's edge with China and Taiwan. And just as that China and Taiwan diplomacy began to stabilize, he went and screwed it up again on Twitter. Good work, moron.
Yeah. So there he's talking about what Trump has done with China, how Trump has messed it up with China. How he's a bull in the China cupboard. You know, you can't trust him. He's just wrecking it. He's taking a whole wrecking ball. You heard it to 4 decades worth of carefully laid foreign policy, but we traced back all the way to, speaking of morons, Jimmy Carter, who I've told you is the author of the Two China policy. And was the first president to refuse to recognize Taiwan. So now why is Russia bad and why is China good? Aren't you interested? Isn't this something that needs to be talked about or at least thought of? Because I think what's going on here is that really whatever Trump does, first of all, whatever Trump does is just going to be wrong. To these people, they hate him, and it is not about anything substantive. To them, Trump is a rube. He's an idiot. He's a spray tanned version of Adolf Hitler. Trump is a neophyte. He doesn't know anything about politics. He doesn't know anything. Yeah, and by the way, I've talked to you about this. They loathe him. Even though he lives in New York City, he's not one of them. He doesn't go to the parties in the Hamptons. He doesn't have a house in the Hamptons. He's just this kind of figure that they hate. And they also hate the fact that he did an end run around all of them, right? He didn't use the media. He's pawned the media, sure, but he didn't need them to win. And these people need to be needed. Trust me. So now they're mad at him. And so here we've got two foes. I mean, let's be honest. Russia is a foe. Russia is scary. We do need to be tough with them. No question. We also need to be tough with China. We got to be tough with all of our countries. And By the way, last I checked, everything that Trump did and ran on in the election was, we got to have smart foreign policy. But we also don't want to get dragged into war with people, into conflict. into confrontations that are unnecessary. And that brings me to this whole thing about Rex Tillerson. So who is he? An interesting guy, ran ExxonMobil, as you've heard. And when you have multinational companies, by the way, I think if ExxonMobil were a country, it would be bigger. It would be ranked number 43rd in the world. I mean, as far as GDP is considered, right? So just the sheer size, the amount of money that flows through Exxon is staggering. Also, I think 70,000 employees I read somewhere. You know how many employees at the State Department? Quite a bit less than that, about 35,000. So here's a guy who has experience running a company, an entity that is bigger than the department that he is going into. That's experience. But the key thing that I like, and by the way, if you're a proponent of things being calm in the world, Tillerson's going to be great, because here's a guy who's got a company that thrives. Exxon, like any multinational company, does well when there's peace in the world, when things go smoothly. And that's also a company, by the way, that where's oil located? Isn't it funny? Oil almost always, because they drill for oil. That's, by the way, where the gas comes from in your car. It's got to be drilled somewhere. They got to extract it. And where's oil found? That's an interesting thing. It's usually in really crappy places. I mean, where is it? It's in Russia. It's in Venezuela. It's in the middle of the ocean. It's in oftentimes disputed regions that are unstable. And so a company like Chevron, Exxon, all these big oil companies, what they, BP, among others, okay? So they have to go into regions of the world, and they have to make peace. And how do you think they do that? It's diplomacy. But it's a different kind of diplomacy. It's a dollar diplomacy. It's not a, hey, you listen to me, or we're going to blow you up. It's, hey, let me listen to you. Here's what I can do. I can help you out this way. I can scratch your back with this. I can work this out. And apparently, this Tillerson guy, the reason he got this award from Vladimir Putin that everyone's having a field day with, the reason he got that was because he was a man of his word. He would go into Russia, did deals in Russia, and he would say, look, this is what I can do, and this is what I can't. And the Russians liked him because they could bank on his promise. And you know what? When it comes to diplomacy, I got to tell you, promises matter. Keeping your promises, not being a shape-shifting, weasel is good. You want shape-shifting weasel? Look at John Kerry. That guy would wiggle out of what he had for breakfast if he could. And I bring all this to, all this is important to consider when you see with this amount of noise about Russia. And I am no fan of Russia. Trust me. All this amount of noise about Russia is just a total distraction. It is nothing more than an effort to. Yeah, well, it's a discrediting effort, certainly. But it is nothing more than noise. And it is so stupid. Because in the same breath, the criticism is, oh my gosh, he's being mean to China. You can't do that. You can't criticize China. You're just undoing all the diplomacy. So which is it? I'm sorry. We're supposed to be mean to Putin and nice to China. Well, explain that to me. I mean, is the explanation that's because we do business in China? We do a lot of, we've got tech in China. Our economy's tied to China. Well, I mean, it's not that simple. The truth of the matter is, and again, this is, you're not going to hear it anywhere else, because if reading in between the lines of all this, China is an important key economic partner of ours. And Trump recognizes something key. Trump recognizes that China needs us as much as we need them, if not a lot, lot more. Ergo, in that negotiation, you can push them around a little bit because they need us. But with Russia, Russia could kind of take us or leave us. And they've been making a lot of the deals that they're making behind the scenes. A lot of these deals are all to the exclusion of the U.S., right? They're going to South America directly. They're going to China. They're going to India. They're making deals in Eastern Europe, and they're excluding the U.S. And Trump recognizes that Russia's a country that could kind of take it or leave it. And so he is doing what he does best, which is to reach out, to put his hand out there and try to make things work. It's a good strategy. It's good for us. It's good for our interests abroad. And it most importantly promotes peace. It's not a bad thing. I just don't look at it. Trump is not the next Neville Chamberlain. He's not going to be a peace at all costs guy. He's smart. He gets it. And Tillerson, this is a the more I think about it, the more I consider it, I think it's an excellent pick. All right. I want to get a little bit behind this pick of Tillerson. I'll give you some behind-the-scenes info when we come back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
The holidays are here. The roads are busy and drivers are crazy. If involved in an accident, go to sweetjames.com.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222 because the KABC phone lines are open.
All right, KABC 790, this is Sam Rogowski here. Looky here. If you missed the clips I played of Keith Olbermann on his YouTube channel, I suggest you go back and get the podcast. Do you have that scum part?
Scum! Who are beholden to scum!
He's talking about Russia.
Russian scum!
Do you remember, Scott Fovall? The guy who ran American United for Change, he was the Americans United for Change. He was the guy that got caught on tape as he was planning to disrupt Trump rallies. Remember that guy? I mean, they were paying people. They were paying, you know, they found like mentally ill people that they'd hire to go, you know, start pick fights with people at Trump rallies. I wonder if they hired Keith Olbermann. This guy's bat. You know what? Crazy. I think it's too bad it's not on the radio. I think the YouTube channel, you actually catch a little bit of the drool coming out of the side of his mouth. Unbelievable. And this all to explain, it's an important thing because it shows the extent to which this has unhinged the Democrats, Democratic Party, and people who have opposed Trump. Now, people are dealing with the different ways, but, the other person is a far lower energy, and I won't play the clip, but, I mean, Nancy Pelosi was on, where was she? MSNBC. She was, drowning her sorrows with Andrea Mitchell yesterday. And here's what Pelosi said. With all due respect to the president's nominee, perhaps he's suitable, talking about Rex Tillerson, perhaps he's suitable for something else. And then she called the Secretary of State position a revered position. Revered? Huh? Sorry, this is formally occupied by one Hillary Rodham Clinton? I mean, excuse me, Benghazi? I mean, what difference does it make? Clinton Global Initiative? I'm going to go and like work basically part-time for the U.S. and then time and a half for my private foundation where I'm going to collect money from people every time they do a favor for me. I'm going to do a favor for them on behalf of the U.S. government. That revered position? Are you insane? The hypocrisy is so thick right now. Unbelievable. So Tillerson, by the way, I had two schools of thought on this, of how the pick came about. Because I suspect an element of it is that Trump, being a media savvy person, understands the principle you can't jump the shark. You can't. It's like an episode of The Apprentice. Again, I plead ignorance on the show. I didn't really watch it too much, but my understanding is that you don't fire the person you're going to fire at the start of the episode. You're going to fire him at the end of the episode. You're going to save, in other words, you're going to save the most important thing that people want to find out for the end. Well, it's the same thing with the Secretary of State. Steak pick. State. Well, the Secretary of State sounds good, too. I'm getting hungry. Oh, that's Chris Christie. Fair enough. But looky, like, you're not gonna come out in this process and say, here's my Secretary of State, and then go ahead and talk about your Energy Secretary and your Secretary of Commerce and everything. It's just anticlimactic. And I feel that Trump certainly has a penchant for how things play out. But an interesting thing is there's a Washington Post article today about how the Tillerson pick, the selection of Rex Tillerson, the nomination to lead the State Department, came about sort of inadvertently. See, Trump had all these different candidates in front of him, and none of them apparently really tickled his pickle. Yeah, he had a few different people. Romney, you know, he had Bolton, who I suspect, I'll tell you more about that. The Bolton's still going to play a role, I'm telling you. I've got good sources on this. But you know, he had Romney, and he had Giuliani, and he had a few others. And he was looking at all these candidates, and none of them he really, really loved. And then it was Michael Gates, former head of the CIA, came in and said, hey, you know, I don't know. Here are my thoughts on the people that you think. And then Trump wasn't very happy and said, yeah, okay, do you have any suggestions? And that's when he kind of paused. He said, yeah, Rex Tillerson. And I'll tell you, you get to the people who really, you know, who even, Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, could not say better things about this guy. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think this might end up being a very good pick. All right, when we come back, let's talk about where Clinton is now and Huma Abedin and that whole cabal of people. There's some funny stuff going on. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talking about the news of the day and going beyond just the surface. No fake news here. We don't sugarcoat anything.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
All right, back again, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. It's going to have John Wolfe back on the news, isn't it? Yeah, how about that suspect in that hit and run, too? There's been a rash of these hit and runs. One of these guys was identified, by the way, this other accident out there was identified by a piece of the grill from his Saab that fell off when he hit somebody in a wheelchair. Yeah, that's just the thing. You know, if you drive a Saab, you know, there's not too many of you, so they're going to find you if you leave a piece of your Saab behind. it's like leaving a bit of your manhood behind, too, because do you pull your man card if you drive a Saab? I'm just curious. Anyway, speaking of pulling your manhood, Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner. Look. The knives are out, and I'm not talking about Wieners, but I'm talking about all the people inside the Clinton campaign who are furious. I think furious is the understatement of the century. Very, very upset with Huma Abedin. They see her really as the reason for Hillary losing. And it's not what you would think. Because it's not just about the fact that, oh, you know, her husband's a pervert and she stuck by him for far too long. And, oh, by the way, she left a bunch of classified emails from her boss on the perv's laptop that later was confiscated by the FBI, who was also investigating her boss. Well, you get the picture. It wasn't just all that. It was, well, the Democrats, especially the Clinton, you know, campaign people are starting to realize, they're starting to wake up, and they're realizing that their candidate was just out of touch. And that's their words, by the way. Mine would refer more to her head being in some part of her body that it shouldn't be in. But at any rate, You know, there's people within the campaign are talking. And there's some insider here who's talking, who is a Vanity Fair did an article on this today. And they said, this is the quote, "The real anger is toward Hillary's inner circle." And this, by the way, is code for Huma Abedin. "They reinforced all the bad habits," meaning all the bad habits that Hillary has, right? "For instance, the suggestion had been made that Clinton should show her gregarious side, should appear more human," right? "Well, or do more interviews." And every time that they brought up an idea, you know, when people from that weren't part of the Huma center circle of Hillary, like 2 to 3 advisors, and they'd bring things to Abedin, who was sort of a translator type person, a liaison between the campaign at large and Hillary herself, she wouldn't even bring it up to Hillary. She'd just shoot it down right then and there. Here's what the insider says, you know. Any time we brought an idea, the inner circle nixed it. Even minor suggestions about changing the narrative, it just fell on deaf ears. Right away, it was either regarded as an intrusion or a naive suggestion, or maybe someone has an agenda. And so people just stopped bothering. Now, I don't believe everything I read in Vanity Fair, but I'm telling you, we're starting to get glimpses of candor from within the campaign. And specifically, we're starting to understand that really you had a candidate who wouldn't listen to anybody, and her own instincts weren't good. That's the key thing. You know, you get a guy like Trump and people say, well, he didn't listen to anybody, and ultimately he did. And I think he won the election because he finally did listen to some people and stuck to a script. But nonetheless, if you're Bill Clinton, for example, and you've got good instincts and people are giving you advice and you're not taking it, you're good. You're fine. You're winning. But if you're Hillary, and you've got terrible political instincts and you're not taking good advice, then you're going to lose. And now that she's lost, you're getting a lot of this stuff coming out from everybody. They're starting to vent this frustration. And it's going to be interesting. We're going to start to get a better understanding of what happened in the campaign. Speaking of which, Podesta, there's some new information about how his email was hacked. Or was it? It wasn't even the Russians to begin with. This came just out today, so I'll tell you about it when we get back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is James Bergener, reminding you to drive safely this holiday season. If hurt, go to sweetjames.com.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. Are you planning to visit Canada anytime soon? Well, if you are and happen to be traveling to the state of Alberta, beware of moose who like to lick cars. Yes, you heard me. Car-licking moose, apparently on the loose. And I've read the story about this, and I'm concerned. I'm not sure if it's the cars are moving or if they're parked and stationary. But apparently it's a safety hazard because these moose average about 900 pounds, have long faces, muzzles that dangle over their chins, and have an anger management problem. So, if you, for example, have a millennial, that lives at home and has had it and so scared of what's going to happen with the Trump presidency and is migrating north for the next 4 years or so, warn them. And if they get into an accident with a Canadian moose that happens to be interfering with their free and safe travel on the roadway, well, I'll tell you this, if there's an injury, you got to call the lawyer we trust here on the program, and that is the one and only, the inimitable Sweet James Bergener. That's right. He is the personal injury lawyer who will help you no matter what the circumstances are. Give him a call. He'll go through your rights and everything. And look, if it's Canada, I don't know. Would he sue Canada? I probably would. If we told him to, Yeah, Robbie's nodding his head. Yeah, if we told him to, it definitely would. But look, even if it's just Allstate, you know, or Mercury, or any of these insurance companies out there, you don't want to fuss with them. You don't want to call them yourself. You don't want to admit anything. Don't get caught up in the tricks that they want to play on you. And also remember this. If you want somebody, if you need help on something like this, you don't want to go with somebody who has a cute jingle or someone who's out of state, out of whatever. Go with the local guy. Go with the guy that lives here and loves Southern California and will take care of you. Somebody you can visit with. So how do you reach him? 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, and we are talking, well, we were talking about this Huma Abedin thing, where now they're, you know, the knives are out. And I mentioned a little bit now that you know, I was talking about how, you know, there's people that are coming out of the woodwork and they're talking to reporters about why they think it's her fault that this whole thing went down. Now, it's important to consider this because, and it's like I explained earlier, it's important because I always want to find out, I want to get to the bottom of what happened. I'm always curious, not just in the what, but the why. And the why, and that's why this whole thing, by the way, irritates me with this hacking thing. It's just half baked. We don't know any information yet, and that's why I was joking. I just think it's comedic, you know. CNN, a few days after the election, says we're coming out with printing a book on the election and everything that happened. You don't know anything yet, guys. You can't talk about this. You can't write a book. This information, these people need time to process. They need time to let go of their anger. They need time to maybe let their anger get the best of them and start to blab. And that's what's happening. So people are starting to blab, and I will keep you posted as this develops. Now, speaking of this, where you need to give it time, a couple of stories came out today. First of all, some guy who is a WikiLeaks operative, a former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, is claiming that WikiLeaks got all these hacked emails from Podesta from a pissed off insider. I don't know if it's true. It's maybe not. Can't be independently corroborated. But it goes to show you that there are alternative ways that these emails could have gotten to WikiLeaks, not by the Russians or the Russian intelligence agencies. And then finally, you know, the guy that's one of the people that's been cited in all these news articles as the intelligence professional who has been cited as a source on this Russian hacking thing. Well, he's been identified. And his name is Mike Morrell. And who is he? It's a guy who works with the longtime Clinton aide, Philip Rhines, and they work in a firm that handles policy issues. But apparently he was a Clinton appointee, and he's the guy, of all people, who was behind that misleading talking points on the Obama administration officials blaming the Benghazi attacks on the YouTube video. So that's the guy. Credible? I don't think so. All right. Give us a short time break, and we'll be back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And the first thing that communism needs in order to survive is the myth. Okay, it just that it is all about the propaganda.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And as we round out the hour, a couple of things to mention that I think are interesting. A tidbit from the Rex Tillerson appointment when they were, you know, Trump had these names. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the hour. Well, he had a bunch of names before him, and one of those names was Petraeus. So they were actively, you know, actively considering Petraeus. But there was, you know, there's a little wrinkle with that, and it's not something you would think of immediately. You see, Petraeus is still, if you can believe this, he's still serving out his sentence. He's on probation, remember, for sharing secrets? You know, kind of like what Hillary did, but got away with his mistress and his biographer, that one gal that was writing a book on him. And so he pled guilty and ended up getting probation as part of the deal. And he's still on probation. So think about how that would have played out. He's Secretary of State, but he needs to check in with his parole officer, right? He needs to get, and no, it was this may have actually been a real consideration for them because, not only that, the parole officer can do warrantless searches at any time of his cell phone and his computer. His home, his office. That's not a good thing. So, yeah, that may have been one of the things that doomed the Petraeus pick. It's a very practical consideration. So now, where to with all of this? It's an interesting, the cabinet is beginning to take shape. And by and large, it seems that, you know, one of the things that people said about the Secretary of State pick, they said, well, they're not going to pick, for example, they're not going to pick John Bolton because he's afraid of the confirmation fight. You know, I think the consideration was that on the Foreign Relations Committee, they only have a one vote margin. The Republicans do. And so they were worried that it would be a, you know, drag out fight to get a controversial pick selected. Well, I think it's pretty obvious here with Tillerson that there is no fear really of controversy. And there just isn't. And this is important. I think that Trump actually, and the Washington Post conceded this when they did the write-up today on the Tillerson nomination. They said, I think Trump is just, he doesn't mind the fight. He's okay picking somebody who's controversial. And he's fine. He's absolutely A-okay with Congress giving him a hard time. And they will. And the irony is, of course, is it's the Republicans that are going to give him the hardest fight. And I tell you, you know, got to understand this. It's not an ideology thing. The reason that people were so frustrated in this election with politicians was because the difference between the Democrats in the Senate and the Republicans was minuscule. At the end of the day, these were all people that are keenly invested in maintaining their world order as they know it. And that means protecting their pork, protecting their special interests, protecting their fat cat salaries, protecting their staff, their whole way of life. You take a guy that's been, you know, McConnell, how long has he been in the Senate? 30 years? I mean, you take someone like that, and it's a career. It's pathetic. And so along comes this neophyte, this outsider. And by the way, he's not afraid to throw rocks at your precious little, you know, world that you've built up. He's criticizing. He's mocking you. He doesn't take you seriously. To him, you're a joke. Think you're going to like that guy just because he's got a big R behind his name? Hell no. Doesn't matter. Don't matter a hill of beans to these guys. And they are going to cause problems for Trump up and down. The wisest pick, I think, is when I look at it now as cabinet taking shape, happened before the election. Because I think that Pence is the guy that is able. He's going to end up being the Capitol Hill whisperer. And, you know, it's funny because I always expected that Obama was going to be a lot more successful on Capitol Hill because he picked Biden. Because if you know, Joe Biden's also a longtime Capitol Hill insider. And even though Obama was a senator, he was only a senator for a hot minute. He really was never one of them. I mean, he really never did anything in the Senate. For him, it was always a stepping stone to the presidency. And it's important, by the way, right? Because Obama was an unusually unproductive president when it came to dealing with Capitol Hill. I mean, this is legislatively, it was constipated, everything which is why he ruled by executive fiat and just, you know, used executive orders left and right to get things done. He completely bypassed, you know, bypassed Congress. And as a result, a lot of his agenda lacks, one, legitimacy, and two, will be a lot easier for Trump to dismantle. So all this considered, I think Trump has seen this and realizes now more than ever, if it was a strategic pick, good for him, but if it wasn't, the Pence is the guy who was on Capitol Hill, has deep respect among establishment Republicans. And so if you think, if you're worried, you know, and you probably hear this right from a lot of people, they say, oh, it's the end of the world. Trump's going to run. He's just going to, his agenda, he's going to take over everything because he's got a Republican Congress behind him. They're going to rubber stamp everything he does. And that is not, that's not necessarily true. In fact, I think that in many ways, the Republicans are just going to be more, they're going to be more obstinate than the Democrats potentially. And it's going to be fun. I'm telling you this because it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting, and I think we're going to have the right amount of tension between the branches of government, that Trump will not be able to push his agenda unchecked the way some people are lamenting. So we'll be here. We'll be here to observe it. Now, just as a quick programming note, we are off for the rest of the week. The Kings are here tomorrow night and Friday. Go Kings, go. And we will be back. Are we back on Monday? Good. We're back on Monday. So I guess we have a few days without each other. I'm going to miss you. I really will. So John Wolfe is up next with the news. And we will be back on Monday. Talk to you then. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio
7790 KABC.